Welcome back to the Sports Zone, everyone. Keith Kelly here with you. Rockies baseball. The Rockies, 10 wins already through their first 15 games. Got another one last night on the road at Los Angeles over the Dodgers. Held on to beat Los Angeles in that game. Jenny Kavnar joining us, Root Sports Rocky Mountain. Late night, maybe early morning for Jenny, but she's kind enough to join us here on the program, getting ready for another Rockies broadcast later on tonight. But the Rockies keep on doing what they do, Jenny, and boy, good pitching and good bullpen. When you know, we keep saying that, but very impressive with the way that they worked last night, holding on to win last night, but still got the victory, right?
Isn't that the truth? I mean, even the way their offense came out, Nolan Arenado has 2 home runs, Trevor Story has a home run, but all that kind of equals up to 4 runs, and that's where they sit. So the offense still, you know, they had a little breakout game in San Francisco, but other than that, they've kind of minimally produced their runs, and they've let the pitching and the defense do the work, and that might just be the motto of 2017, and I think that's okay, because we all know that pitching and defense can get you into the playoffs.
Do you expect, I mean, you're starting to see some of the signs. Nolan Arenado's having an outstanding start. Not shocked by that at all. But, you know, Trevor Story's had a couple games where he's getting some extra base hits. LeMahieu, these guys are starting to get it going a little bit. Cargo's the one. You know he's going to get it going. But do you feel like you're starting to see some signs that these guys are starting to get into that form we're used to seeing?
Yeah, you're starting to see some really good signs, and I think it's funny because you mentioned it, Nolan Arenado's probably had the best offensive year so far as a complete year, you know, out of the big guns. You know, Mark Reynolds and Gerardo Parra started off the year really hot offensively, but in terms of those big guys that you expect to produce every night, Nolan's had the best year, and what did he do on the first off day of the season on Monday? He went down to his hometown in Orange County and went to the cage with his high school coach and his dad to try and figure out his swing a little bit better. This is what Nolan does. All these guys are grinding. I mean, Trevor Story's putting in the extra work. He's trying to figure it out. You know, Cargo's funny. I heard in the broadcast yesterday, the guys were saying that are out there on the road trip that they were chatting with him, and Cargo said, "I'm raking right now." You know, it's a mindset for him. You have to believe it. And yeah, Cargo isn't raking, but his bat will come around, and I'm okay if he has a slow start when other guys are, you know, picking it up. And that's the thing. It's one day we're going to see all these guys aligned together, and that offensive power really shine through, because it's there. There's no doubt about it. This is one of the best offensive teams on paper in the National League. We've still yet to see it, but you're sitting at 10 wins through 15 games and you still haven't seen it. That's a pretty good deal.
I've always said, and this is for the last couple of years, that I think Nolan is the best player in baseball. Not third base. I think he's the best player overall in baseball. And I saw a tweet from somebody who with ESPN saying it would take 10 years, $280 million to extend Nolan Arenado and keep him with the Rockies. That's a big, big number, but for a guy of his quality, it's not out of the realm of possibility. And I think it's something that I know the Rockies don't have to make a decision now, but it's something they've got to, I know, is in the back of their minds right now, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be expensive to keep Nolan around long term. I think everyone knows that. But when you come around a special player like that, you know, he might be the best player in franchise history when all is said and done, if he can stay in a Rockies uniform. And that's no disrespect to Todd Helton, because, gosh, he certainly owns that title. But a player like Nolan Arenado and his talent, and his ability to be so consistent. I mean, we're talking about a guy that just started his 5th season, and he already broke the top 10 last night in Rockies franchise history of home runs. So he's 115 home runs as a Rocky. That's tied with Ellis Burks for 10th all-time. He's probably going to end up 7th or 6th on that list when all is said and done this season, maybe in the next season. So that's pretty impressive. Plus, you talk about the gold gloves that he's got. I agree with you. I mean, I think he plays in the Rocky Mountain time zone and is just starting to get the love nationally as a legitimate MVP candidate. Nevertheless, one of the best players in the game. I remember going into last season, they were ranking just the best third baseman in the game. I think MLB was doing a countdown, MLB Network was. They had Nolan Arenado ranked 6th behind Justin Turner. And I was like, what a slap in the face. Have you seen his numbers? Have you seen what he does? And last year he did it again. He led Major League Baseball in RBIs for the 2nd year in a row. He tied the National League in home runs. His offensive numbers are there, but his defense, I think, is what makes Nolan an extra special player. We almost saw that last night. He had that bare hand grab, almost got Jock Peterson out at first. He's ridiculous. And Bud Black said it last night. He said, I'll go on record. He's one of the top five players in this game. So Ryan Spielberg and I got in a little argument after that. He might be one of the top three players in this game right now. And hopefully the rest of the country will catch up to that quickly.
I think he's top one player in the league right now because he just, like you said, he does everything. Unfortunately, at least nationally, he's got to, you know, that stigma of playing in the Rocky Mountain time zone, playing at Coors Field, are going to inflate his numbers. At least that's what those people are saying. But it's the defense that ends up taking it over the top. And if people don't watch him play third base, they're missing a terrific show because he does something that's so extraordinary seemingly every night that makes it look routine. I mean, he does.
Well, and I'm glad he did it on a big stage last night. I mean, you talk about playing at Dodger Stadium. You know, I think for Nolan, that's what really disappointed him in the WBC. At the end of the day, they won the championship, and that was important to him. But number two, he put on a USA uniform, and he was playing on a world stage. And he didn't play great offensively, and he was playing at Dodger Stadium in the place he grew up going to watch baseball, and I think he just wanted to have a better showing. So I think he was really disappointed coming off of that. But again, when you play those big teams, here's what I would say. Great, you can say Nolan Arenado plays at Coors Field. He has three home runs this road trip in San Francisco and Dodgers Stadium at two pitchers' parks on the West Coast. Mm-hmm. So people just need to look at the numbers more and not just the uniform that he's wearing.
Jenny Kapnar joining us, Rockies-Dodgers tonight as the Rockies looking to have what a weird, you know, you play four in San Francisco and then come back and just play two in Los Angeles, kind of a weird mini series with the Dodgers, but it was really good last night to see Kyle Freeland respond well with a solid pitching performance after his last outing at home. Did not go so well when he gave up the three or four runs in the first inning to the Padres, but still, you know, he kind of shut him down for the next three innings. But I liked what I saw from him and kind of the inconsistencies you get, but you take the good with you take the good and then you take some of the bad. But it was good to see him bounce back, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think the hard thing, and I'm trying to pace myself with him too, he's just a rookie, it was just his third start seeing a team for the second time. So, you know, obviously the Dodgers had a lot of video on him, and I think he made some good adjustments. I think where Kyle kind of, you know, went the wrong direction last night as he walked four guys and he hit two batters, so six free bases, yet he was able to still minimize the damage and only allow one run. I think for the starting staff as a whole, minus what Chatwood was able to do with a complete game and what Senzatella has been able to do in his starts, they've really had a hard time going deep. And, you know, we continue to talk about this great bullpen, but the big question is how long is that going to be able to sustain? I think the starters need to get on a consistent mark of trying, you know, to get into the sixth inning. For Kyle Freeland, I think that's just going to be a learning curve. Again, three starts into the big leagues, I think this kid has a lot of moxie and a lot of poise. And even his post-game comments, he wasn't angry with himself. He gets it's a learning process. He understood right away, you know, where he might have faltered. And he also praised his defense a lot. You know, he said pitching in front of that group of guys behind you gives you all the confidence in the world. So I think we're going to really be able to tell who Kyle Freeland is, you know, after the All-Star break mark. I want to give this kid a half a year to get into the big leagues and to get adjusted. But I think we're going to see something special. I just think we're seeing it earlier from Antonio Senzatella, but I'm okay that Kyle Freeland hasn't peaked yet because I think there's a lot of special potential for that pitcher.
Do you expect John Gray to just miss these two starts, the 10 days that he's off, or is this something
No.
that they keep monitoring?
Yeah, I think they said it'll be at least a month.
Oh, wow.
Gray. Yeah, so right now with the way the schedule went, having an off day Monday and an off day on Thursday this week and just that two-game set in L.A., they were able to stick with a four-man rotation. So they won't have to get a fifth starter until Tuesday. So that'll give them some time, you know, to see how Chris Rustin's utilized on this road trip in long relief. They can have him, you know, kind of fill in that spot start role, and they'll bring up someone from AAA to fill in his role in the bullpen, or if it's a chance for Germán Márquez or Jeff Hoffman to come into the rotation, the Rockies are able to buy a little time to make that decision. So it'll be interesting, but yeah, whoever makes that quote-unquote spot start will actually be a member of this rotation for, I would say, a good three or four starts.
Ian Desmond, David Dahl, any closer to getting back?
No, I mean, David Dahl was on the road trip, so I think that was a good sign. He was headed back to Arizona today. I think they're going to do a little bit more reeval on him, and he'll be back at the ballpark, I think, Monday with the team, or maybe over the weekend, and hopefully have a few more answers on where he's at. But, you know, both of them still not swinging a baseball bat, which is, you know, not concerning, but just, I think, time-wise, that kind of lengthens out a bit their return. Doing other baseball activities, staying in shape, all those things are great, but until you can get a bat in your hand, swing rotationally, see how it feels for David, and then of course with the hand, see how it feels for Ian, then you got to get on a rehab assignment. I mean, I just don't think we're going to see either one of these guys till the end of May.
I know you're not on the road trip this week to the Dodgers. What's on tap, Root Sports Rocky Mountain pregame tonight and then back home this weekend?
Yeah, I think tonight we're actually airing a special that Billy shot with Charlie Blackman over the winter. They did some work in the cage, and they went and did Charlie's workout. We've aired those on the club and other various pregame programs. But tonight, I think we're going to see them go fishing. And from what I heard, it's hilarious, and all only right. as hilarious as Charlie Blackman can be. So definitely a must-see.
Definitely. So Jenny Kavnar, kind enough to join us. Thank you so much, Jenny, and we appreciate it. And we'll talk to you in a few weeks. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you got it.